This is the voice of literacy, where literacy researchers, teachers, principals, parents, and policymakers share and discuss how literacy research informs practice. Join the biweekly podcast and discussion forums. My name is Dr. Betsy Baker, Professor of Literacy Studies at the University of Missouri. This week, we hear from Dr. Susan Newman, Professor in Educational Studies at the University of Michigan. Previously, Dr. Newman served as the United States Assistant Secretary for Elementary and Secondary Education, as well as the Director for the Center of the Improvement of Early Reading Achievement. She does research involving vocabulary development among preschoolers by using categories. Welcome, Dr. Newman.
Well, I'm glad to be here.
We're glad to have you. Tell us about yourself and how you got interested in vocabulary development and the use of categories and preschoolers.
Sure. Well, generally what happened when I left the government, I was in the government for about 2.5 years, and when I left, I was frustrated because I felt there weren't enough successful interventions for young children. And so I received a grant, and I was able to go across the country to look at programs that have fundamentally changed the odds for children. And I wrote a book called Changing the Odds for Children at Risk, which identified programs that were highly successful. And they all had one key component in these interventions. And that was a focus on vocabulary.
Interesting.
So I became very interested in how we could support children's vocabulary and knowledge development in the very, very early years. And that's why I began to develop an intervention to improve this, the skill and conceptual development as well.
Now, you talk about in your article a program called World of Words, or WOW. Can you tell us more about WOW?
Well, one of the reasons we wanted to call it WOW is that we said, wow, it's really fun to learn about words. And the World of Words enables children to become word conscious, aware of words and splendid notion or understanding of what words can do for you. One of the things that we tried to do differently than some of the existing research was to look at the words children would need to know in order to be successful in content areas like science and social studies.
Yeah, yeah.
And we said that children, particularly young children, deserve to have not just a regular curriculum, but a curriculum that could accelerate vocabulary knowledge, so that they could go into kindergarten, first grade, second grade with some of the words that we assume that they will need in order to be successful in science and social studies and math. And so we developed this notion of you needed to not only be directly taught some words. In other words, most of our interventions only include about 50 words, and this certainly will not close the gap for those children who have a differential of 15,000 words prior to school entry.
Interesting.
So we needed to develop a program that created a self-teaching mechanism. And what I mean by that is children need to learn on their own as well as with a teacher. And we recognize that if we taught words in categories, we could help them understand not only the word itself, but the conceptual framework for understanding that word.
Can you give us some example? What are some examples of those categories?
Okay, so for example, if I know that a pear is a kind of fruit, and then I say to someone that a fruit is something that is healthy to eat, then when children learn about the word apple or strawberries or mangoes, they could begin to understand and organize those words in the conceptual framework of the category fruit.
And you found this, the students you worked with actually outperformed other children?
Very dramatically so. So we had a number of key experiments. And our first experiment was just to learn about how the curriculum worked. Many times we examine curricula without understanding its key components. And one of the things that we recognized was that kids could learn much more difficult words than we were assuming. So, for example, our children learned about camouflage, which is a very important concept for an insect, right? So we learned about the aspects of the words, but then we did a large randomized control trial. And we found that these children who were in Head Start, very low in original achievement, exceeded those children in a control group. But the other exciting feature of our study is after a half a year later, they still were performing better than their control group. And when we compared that with average children and upper middle class children, they were on the same level of vocabulary and conceptual knowledge that their middle and upper middle income peers.
Very exciting.
No, so one of the things we recognize is that we have not begun to tap the potential of these young children. They're far more capable of rigorous understanding than we have previously assumed.
It's very exciting. And now, did I understand from your article also that part of WOW includes multimedia?
That's right. So one of the first things that we do is for children who are low in vocabulary or language, talking in words is often inexplicable. In other words, we often use words to describe what words mean. So what we did is we came up with a strategy called embedded multimedia. And what this means is that we started by teaching a category name using an exemplar in video form. So the child could see a video and hear the word and see the word at the same time they were learning different aspects of those words. And that helped the child understand and develop a multimedia strategy for understanding the word.
Right. So now that you've done this study, what would you tell teachers?
We would tell teachers that they need to focus more explicitly on vocabulary development early on. Traditionally, we think of vocabulary as print vocabulary, but we're finding that oral language comprehension or vocabulary is the foundation of early literacy development. So more planful instruction is really critically needed.
So doesn't a lot of vocabulary instruction already occur, especially in the younger grades?
Not at all. We did a study of 55 different schools and found zero planned lessons in vocabulary development.
Because on the podcast, we've talked to other people that say the same thing at the middle school and high school level, and they all assume that it happens at the elementary and preschool level.
It doesn't. What happens is teachers embed vocabulary in other instruction, hoping that the children will get it. But children do not get vocabulary based on fast mapping or one exposure only. They need repeated vocabulary and review and practice.
So what does this mean for parents?
Parents need to talk to their children a lot and engage in responsive talking. So, for example, rather than the parent having an agenda, they should listen to the child and work off the child's agenda, answering their questions, even though those questions can be nonstop.
And it sounds like maybe they shouldn't dumb down the vocabulary, that they should really use adult talk with them in response.
Well, that's a very important point. They should not only use adult talk, but they should use interesting words. So we find that children learn words like fatigue. They love that word, or camouflage, or unusual words that get them thinking in new ways. And it actually, we have shown that brain-wise, what it does is it creates an orienting influence. So the child actually perks up when they hear very unusual words.
Interesting. It makes me think of my dog who tilts her head when I make unusual noises, right?
That's exactly true. That's what happens.
And what do we tell principals?
Principals should do more planned observations of teachers and their vocabulary development. If we would see as little vocabulary development in phonological awareness or phonics, we would be extraordinarily concerned. Yet for some reason, we haven't been concerned that these children are not getting a heavy diet in words. Yet we wonder then why there's a fourth grade slump, or sometimes even a second grade slump. And that's caused because children do not have the language and the vocabulary and the background knowledge that these words are conveying early on.
And what do we tell policymakers?
We tell policymakers that we need more intentional activities in vocabulary. Interestingly, if you look at the National Reading Panel report, what they say is the most powerful strategy to learn vocabulary is to spend time reading. Yet we find that children who are low in vocabulary read very low-level texts, which means we're exacerbating the vocabulary gap rather than decreasing it. What we need is planned instruction in vocabulary development, and we need for policymakers to actually put that in their recommendations, both at the research level, but also in their proposals that they write for states to apply for funding.
I love in your article you refer to learning words within categories acting as a bootstrap for self-learning.
That's exactly right. We have to create self-learning mechanisms so that children on their own can learn about new words. And what we found is that when they play category games, and many of us can do this so simply, like in bingo and different kind of categorization, Jeopardy games do this kind of thing, they are learning a strategy for organizing words. And it's the organization of the words that is acting as the bootstrap.
Yeah. Where do you go next? What research do you think we still need to do in this area?
Well, we're currently conducting studies of the existing curricula in core reading programs and basal reading programs. And what we're finding is a striking lack of attention to vocabulary in these curriculum programs. So we're hoping that the Common Core curricula, which many people are talking about, that states are currently adopting standards, will fundamentally change what they are doing and create more opportunities for vocabulary development.
Dr. Susan Newman from the University of Michigan, we thank you for being with us today.
Thank you. It's been a joy.
You can find Dr. Newman's research in Reading Research Quarterly, Volume 46, Issue 3. This podcast is available from iTunes, Facebook, and Twitter, as well as our website, www.voiceofliteracy.org. where you can find a link to this article and additional work done by Dr. Newman. We invite you to join online discussions of this and other podcast episodes, peruse a schedule of upcoming topics and guests, and post questions for those guests. This is the Voice of Literacy.